From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to Let the Bible Speak. We thank you for joining with us for today's program. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from the Word of God brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week's message is called Christ Selecting and Directing His Disciples, focusing on portions of Luke chapter 9 and 10. The disciples had seen much success in their preaching, but the Savior cautions them against the danger of pride, reminding them that they are but sinners saved by grace. First, Dr. Cairns deals with today's hot topic, remarking that, once again, Hollywood stinks.
Hollywood's at it again. Hell's entertainment capital here on earth seems fascinated with the story of Christ and His nativity. It's not really that Hollywood intends any great good to come from its efforts. It's simply a way of making money from gullible people. And, of course, it's a way of taking a side swipe at Bible Christianity. Few, if any, Hollywood productions of biblical themes are really true to the inspired script. Somehow, the ungodly scriptwriters imagine that they can insert and delete material at will just to make the story say what they want it to say. That is offensive to anyone who believes the Bible to be the very Word of God. Just as offensive is Hollywood's casting of actors and actresses in key roles. I'm totally opposed to any man acting the Lord Jesus Christ because it is a flagrant breach of the Second Commandment. And I'm horrified at some of the more than dubious choices directors have made when it comes to filling the role of the Virgin Mary. Now, I'm no Roman Catholic burdened with all Rome's superstitious belief about Mary. But I believe the Bible, and I recognize the mother of the Lord Jesus as the most beautiful example of a godly woman I can find in Scripture. God chose her to be the virgin mother of Christ because she was, in fact, a pure virgin. Yet when Hollywood comes to cast actresses in the role of the Virgin Mary, as often as not, the choice falls on some seamy actresses of questionable moral character. The last one chosen was New Zealander Keisha Castle-Hughes in the Nativity story, who announced that she was pregnant only weeks after finishing shooting the film last year. Then, just a couple of weeks ago, Hollywood announced another attack on the story of Christ's birth, and this time the invitation has gone out to Britney Spears to act the part of Mary. Ms. Spears is considering the offered role. Britney Spears? A drunken, drug-addicted, immoral, out-of-control rock singer and second-rate actress? And she is supposed to represent the Virgin Mary? You could be forgiven for thinking that every time Hollywood plans any allegedly Bible-based film, it looks on it as an opportunity to rub the nose of Bible believers, indeed of decent people who value moral behavior, in the dirt. In a society whose young people have been poisoned by the Britney Spears of the world, where immorality is now not only at epidemic proportions, but is endemic in our national life, where drug addiction and alcohol addiction are national disasters, what kind of a message does it send to select this debauched actress for the role of Mary? One day you see her disheveled image on the front page as she's led away after yet another binge on drugs or booze, or you see her deprived of her children because she is an utterly self-centered and incompetent mother whose home and company make for a dangerous environment for them. And then you see her in line to play the role of the greatest of all mothers. That tells young people that morality and decency are of no real account. And the suggestion is that even the Virgin Mary was only a Britney Spears after all. That is the pernicious lie Hollywood is pushing. It is ultimately an assault on Christ, even while it appears to promote his story. I suppose we should expect no more from Hollywood. As usual, Hollywood stinks. This time, however, decent people should raise a stink and put a stop to this foul blasphemy.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
I don't believe that Christians need to be studying Satan in order to overcome Satan. There is a fascination in the church today with people who want to come and talk about the occult, talk about Satanism. There are books that, there was a while, in fact, you couldn't go into any Christian bookstore, but you would find the shelves were lined with occult material. And the excuse was, this was to arm Christians. Let me tell you, you don't arm Christians to fight the devil by studying the devil. You don't arm Christians to overcome hell by filling their minds with the putrid thoughts of hell. It is light that overcomes darkness. Nothing else. You arm Christians with the power of the living Christ. That's what they need. That's what I need. When I look back over 40 years of preaching and think of dealing with situations where I was face to face with the powers of hell, I can tell you there was only one thing would overcome. And that was the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and His gospel. That's what Christ promises. And as we go out, our commission is invade the strongholds of darkness. Go after the perishing souls of men. Do so armed with the authority and the might and the power of the King of Glory. And never forget. And here's the rub. Never forget that you're serving in the light of eternity. We're dealing with the destiny of souls. If I were preaching to student ministers or ministers now, the message would take a totally different turn. We have reached the stage in the pulpit of evangelical churches where preaching is thought to be the dissemination of information. Now, every good preacher should inform his congregation. There should be a real element of disseminating knowledge of the Word of God. If I don't expound the Scripture, if people are no better acquainted with Scripture and its truth when I'm finished, then I'm missing the point. But preaching is not simply going down disseminating bits of information. We have preachers who spend their time roaming the internet for other people's sermons and exegeses and expositions and outlines and stories and all the rest of it. That's all they do. Gone is the old evangelistic fire. Gone is the thought that I am a dying man preaching to dying men and women. Gone for most preachers is the vision that William Booth had and that he wanted every Salvation Army officer to have. That men, we are standing over hell and souls are dropping into it. That's what the Lord Jesus wanted these disciples to know as He commissioned them. We're dealing with souls for eternity. And every soul before me is going to live in God's heaven or live in God's hell for all eternity. That adds a tremendous weight of responsibility to the preacher and to the Christian worker and to the Christian living among the unsaved, and working among the unsaved, speaking among the unsaved, witnessing among the unsaved. That adds a big responsibility. Without wanting to get into the passage itself, I think of how the Lord spoke to Ezekiel about this. I've made you a watchman. I've made you a warner of souls. If you warn them and they don't repent, their blood's on their own head. But if you don't, and they perish, oh, they perish because of their own sin. That's true. But these are words that haunt me as a preacher. One of the reasons I don't believe in glowing tributes to preachers when they die, because only God knows what they've got to answer for. Their blood will I require at your hand. Their blood will I require at your hand. It's an awful weight of responsibility upon a disciple of Christ. I'm commissioned to bring in clear truth, plain language, the way of life, the command of the King to repent and believe the gospel. But it also puts a tremendous responsibility upon every man and woman who hears such a witness. The Lord Jesus here speaks of Chorazin and Bethsaida and then Capernaum. They're awful warnings. They had a witness given to them and they rejected it. And from the depths of hell today, they lift a warning to every man, woman, and young person who hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, who hears the challenge of becoming a disciple of Christ, and either is unwilling to pay the cost or for some other reason repudiates the call. From hell they witness the awful cost of rejecting Christ, because of the price of discipleship is high, the cost of rejecting it is even higher. So Christ explains our commission. Then he issues a caution to his disciples in chapter 10, verses 17 and following. This is a thing that's very often overlooked. The disciples came back, the 70, and they were rejoicing. And I think you'd have been rejoicing and I would have been rejoicing too. They'd been out and about, they'd been through all the villages and towns, and they had done mighty miracles. They had cast out devils. And they came back rejoicing. Even the devils are subject unto us in your name. We have gone up to people possessed with a devil, and at one word we have seen Satan driven out. They were rejoicing. But the Lord Jesus immediately cautioned them. Verse 18, he says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Just by the way, you'll see the witness to the eternity and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as the Unitarians tell us, and as many cultists tell us, his beginning was in Bethlehem at his birth. Here is the eternal Christ, speaking way of that time, away back at the very dawn of all history, when Satan first sinned and fell from being the anointed cherub down to being the devil himself. He says, I saw him fall. But the Lord Jesus is saying, I saw more than that. I'm still seeing. As God, I'm looking into your heart. And I'm seeing enough to cause real concern. You've seen remarkable and wonderful things. Things that are the special gifts of divine grace. Even the prophets would love to have seen the things that you've seen. But, and there's a very big but, I think the Lord Jesus is looking at them saying, I detect in your hearts a readiness to be puffed up by your own success. Here they are. Lord, the devils are subject unto us in your name. Now we can understand that, but stop and think for a moment. Do you see any humility there? Do you see any evidence of self-doubt or self-recognition there? Do you see anything of these people before the feet of the Savior giving all glory to Him and saying, Lord, here we are, poor little miserable, hopeless, helpless creatures who just a little time before saw the very disciples, the 12 closest disciples of Christ, prove powerless at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration? And yet, because of your grace, we have seen a mighty miracle. Do you see anything of that in them? No, no, it's not there. What you see is people who are puffed up with success. And if Christ didn't intervene, their very success would destroy them. So he says, don't be puffed up because the devils are subject unto you. Remember, I saw Satan fall. What led to Satan's fall? Pride. That's what led to Satan's fall. And he's saying, and they wouldn't have missed it, pride will destroy you just as certainly.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.